let us now discuss the final part of labor laws applicable to hospital. For that, let's first discuss Factories Act, which came into existence in 1948. The Factories Act came into force on the first day of April 1949. Its object is to regularize the conditions of work in manufacturing establishment, which come within the definition of the term factory used in the Act. So, you know, basic thing, object was to regularize the conditions of the work in all the manufacturing establishments. Few definitions: factory means any premises including the percentage thereof where 10% or more workers are working or were working on any day of the preceding 12 months. So where 10 or more workers are working, it's called a factory. In any part of which a manufacturing process is being carried out with the aid of power or is ordinary so carried on, whereon 20 or more workers are working or were working on any day of the preceding 12 months without the aid of power or is ordinary so carried on. Now, who's a worker? As per section 2 subsection 1, a worker means a person employed directly by or through any agency, including a contractor, with or without the knowledge of the principal employer, whether for remuneration or not, in any manufacturing process or in any other kind of work incidental to or connected with the manufacturing process. So that person may be employed directly or through an agency, contractor. He might have the knowledge of the principal employer. That's what a worker is. Adult, an adult means a person who has completed his 18 years of age. Adolescence means a person who has completed his 15 years of age. And a child is a person who has not completed his 15 years of age. A young person means a person who is either a child or an adolescent. Day, it means a period of hours beginning at midnight. So these are all the terms which are necessary when we talk of Factories Act. Week, it means a period of 7 days beginning at midnight on Saturday night. Occupier of a factory means the person who has the ultimate control over the affairs of the factory. In the case of firm or other association of individuals, any one of the partners or member thereof shall be deemed to be the occupier. In the case of the company, the directors shall be deemed to be the occupier. In the case of the factory owned or controlled by the central government or state government or any local authority, the person appointed to manage the affairs of the factory by the central government, the state government or the local authority as the case may be, shall be deemed to be the occupier. The inspecting staff. Inspectors as per section 8. As per this section, the state government may, by notification in the official gazette, appoint any person to be a chief inspector to exercise the powers conferred on him by the Factories Act. Every district magistrate shall be an inspector for his district, and the state government may appoint certain public officers to be the additional inspectors. What are the powers of these inspectors? As per section 9, an inspector within the local limits for which he is appointed, with assistants who are in the service of the government or any local or other public authority, make examination of the premises, plant, machinery, article or substance, he has that right, inquire into any accident or dangerous occurrence, whether resulting in bodily injury, disability or not, and take on the spot, require the production of any prescribed register or any other document relating to the factory. He also has the right to seize or take copies of any register, record or any document or any portion thereof as he may consider necessary in respect of offence under this Act. He also can direct the occupier that any premises or any part thereof or anything lying therein shall be left undisturbed, whether generally or in particular respects. He can take measurements, photographs and make such recordings as he considers necessary for the purpose of any examination. In case of any article or substance found in any premises, being an article or substance which appears to him as having caused or likely to cause danger to the health or the safety of the workers, then it becomes his utmost duty to do it. It is directly to be dismantled or the subject to any process of test, exercise with other powers as may be prescribed. He also has certain additional powers. He has the power to require medical examination of a young person working in a factory under section 75, to take sample of any substance used or intended to be used in the factory for the purpose of finding out if the substance is injurious to health, especially of the workers who are working over there, then certifying surgeons. Appointment, the state government may appoint qualified medical practitioners to be certifying surgeons for specific local limits or factories. Now, what is the duty of these surgeons? The examination and certification of young persons, the examination of persons engaged in factories in dangerous occupations or process. So there are certain factories where, you know, there are certain hazardous chemicals. So in all such cases, these surgeons play a very important role. The exercising of such medical supervision as may be prescribed for any factory where cases of illness have occurred, which is for which it is reasonable to believe, or due to the nature of the manufacturing process, as I just mentioned, any change in the manufacturing process carried out or in the substance used therein, there is a likelihood of injury to the health of the workers employed. So in all such cases, it becomes the duty of the certifying surgeons to examine the young the people working in the factories. If they feel there is any kind which may cause or endanger the life of such people, it is necessary to examine such people and the premises, because in many cases illnesses have occurred reasonably to the nature of the manufacturing processes. Now, who is a welfare officer? Section 49 of the Act imposes statutory obligation upon the occupier of the factory for the appointment of welfare officer, wherein 500 or more workers are ordinarily employed. A safety officer, Section 40B empowers the state government for directing or occupier the factory to employ such number of safety officers as specified by it, whereby more than 1,000 workers are employed. In such cases, a safety officer is also necessary. Health, safety and welfare measures. The Act makes detailed provision under Chapter 3, 4 and 5 of the Act with regard to the various matters relating to the health, safety and the welfare of the workers, to protect these workers from accident, to secure for them an employment condition conducive to their health, safety and welfare. This is very, very important. Health. Chapter 3, Section 11 to 20 of the Act deals with the provision ensuring the health of these workers. Most important, cleanliness. The premises where they worked have to be kept clean and free from effluvia and dirt. Effective means of drainage has to be provided. Use of disinfectants, detergents, painting, repainting, varnishing, re-varnishing, whitewashing, etc. Everything has to be conducive to the health of the worker so that it does not endanger his life. Disposal of waste and effluents. Effective arrangements should be made in every factory for the treatment of waste and effluents carried out therein. State government may make rules prescribing the arrangement to be made in this regard. Also very important is ventilation and temperature. Effective and suitable provision should be made in every factory for securing and maintaining adequate ventilation and temperature. The process which produces high temperatures shall be separated from the workroom by insulating the hot parts by other effective means. The state government may prescribe a standard of adequate service of notice by the chief inspector on the occupier to adopt measures for reduction of temperatures. Also, the workers need to be protected against dust and fume. So, effective measures for the prevention of inhalation of accumulation of dust and fumes should be taken. Exhaust for internal combustion engine. Also, one of a very effective way is to have suctions so that wherever there is a lot of dust, the suctions can play a very big role. Artificial humidification, prescribing standards of humidification, ventilation and cooling of air. Water used for artificial humidification should be clean. Overcrowding injurious to the health of the workers has to be avoided. This is again very, very important. Adequate space for the workers to work. Overcrowding should be avoided. There should be at least 9.9 cubic millimeters and 14.2 cubic meter cubic millimeters of space for every worker. Notice of maximum workers to be employed in a workroom. Goes without saying, sufficient and suitable lighting in every part of the factory is a must. Glazed windows and skylights to be kept clean. Measures for prevention of glare and formation of shadows. And prescription of standards of sufficient and suitable lighting. Drinking water. Effective arrangements have to be made to provide and maintain at suitable points conveniently situated for all the workers employed therein for sufficient supply of wholesome drinking water, which has to be absolutely clean. Cooling of drinking water where more than 250 workers are employed. under section 19, latrines and urinals, separate latrines and urinals for male and female workers conveniently situated and adequate lighting, lighted and ventilated. Latrine and urinal accommodation to be of prescribed sanitary types, floor and walls to be glazed and they are cleaning. Spittoons, so as per section 20, the factory where the workers are working, sufficient number of spittoons have to be maintained and that too they have to be in a clean and hygienic condition. Also notice should be containing the provision of spittoons in the factory should be displayed at all suitable places so that cleanliness is maintained. And whoever spits, there should be a fine that can be imposed on those workers. You know, paan, spitting out with paan stains and gutka stains and all this is to be completely avoided. Cleanliness has to be maintained. Safety. The safety provisions are absolute and obligatory in the chapter and they are contained in chapter 4, that is section 21 to 41. Fencing of machinery. Dangerous part of every machinery to be securely fenced. Prescription of further precautions by the state government. Work on or near machinery in motion. Examination of machinery in motion by a trained adult male worker. Restriction on women and young person to work on machinery in motion. Employment of young persons on dangerous machines. Restriction on young persons to work on dangerous machines. Machines dangerous for a young person to be specified specifically by the state government. So young people should be avoided as far as possible. Striking gear and devices for cutting off power. Suitable striking gear should be provided, maintained and used. Locking device to prevent accident starting of transmission machinery. Self-acting machines, no transferring part or self-acting machine in any factory. Inward transfers within a distance of 45 centimeters from any fixed structure which is not a part of the machine. This is again very important. Casing of new machines, all machinery driven by power and installed in a factory, every set screw, bolt or key or any revolving shaft, spindle, wheel or pinion shall so be sunk, encased or otherwise effectively guarded as to prevent danger. Prohibition of employment of women and children near cotton openers. This is important. Section 27. No woman or child shall be employed in any part of factory for pressing cotton in which a cotton opener is at work. They should be employed on the side of the partition where the feed end is situated. Hosts and lifts. Hosts and lifts are to be in good mechanical construction and examined once in every 6 months. No lifting machine or appliance shall be deemed to be a host or lift unless it has a platform or case, the direction or movement of which is restricted by a guide or guides. This. Now, for lifting of machines, chains, ropes and lifting tackles, cranes and lifting machines, etc. to be of good constructions and to be examined once in every 12 months. Cranes and lifting machines not to be loaded beyond their capacity, beyond the safe working load, that is. Cranes not to approach within 6 meters of a place where a person is employed or working. In case of revolving machinery, notice of maximum space working speed of grindstone or abrasive wheel, etc. to be kept near the machine. The speed indicated in notices under section 30, subsection 1 shall not be exceeded. Effective measures have to be taken in every factory to ensure that safe working peripheral speed of every revolving vessel, case, basket, flywheel, pulley, disc or other similar appliance. Floor, stairs and means of access under section 32. So all the floors, steps, stairs, passages, they have to be absolutely of sound construction. Safe means access to work at every place, at any time required to work shall be provided and maintained. And when any person has to work at a height, safety precautions have to be taken. Pit, sums, opening in floors, etc. So they have to be securely covered or fenced again to protect the workers. The state government may by order in writing exempt any factory in respect of any vessel, sum, tank, pit or opening from compliance with the above provision. Excessive weights, prohibition on lifting or carrying of excessive weight, maximum lifts, weights to be lifted or carried has to be prescribed. Protection of eyes, this is again very important. In every factory, screen or suitable goggles shall be provided for the protection of persons employed on or other processes which involve any danger or injury to the worker's eyesight. But typically, if you see, eye gears are to be provided to the workers where there is a constant threat of damage to the eyes. precautions against dangerous fumes, gases under Section 36. So prohibition on entry into any chamber, tank, vat, pit, pipe, etc., where any gas, fumes, etc., is present. Practicable measures to be taken for the removal of gas, fume, etc. Precautions regarding the use of portable electric light. No portable electric light or any other electric appliance of voltage exceeding 24 volts shall be permitted for use inside any chamber, tank, vat, pit, flue, or any other confined space in a factory. Precautions to be taken against explosives in inflammable dust gas. Practicable measures to prevent explosions on ignition of gas, fumes, etc. have to be taken. Provision of chokes, vents, etc. so as to restrict the spread of explosion. So it has to be properly ventilated. Vents have to be there so as to prevent restrict the spread of explosion. Special measures are taken where explosive or inflammable gas or vapors is under pressure greater than the atmospheric pressure. Now, what precautions to be taken in case of fire? Under Section 38, practicable measures shall be taken to prevent outbreaks of fire and its spread, both internally and externally. So, effective measures shall be taken to prevent outbreak of fire and its spread. Effective measures should be taken to ensure that in every factory, all the workers are familiar with the means of escape in case of fire and have been adequately trained. This is very important again. People should know what are the firefighting equipments available in the factory, what to do in case of fire, and so that you know there is no chaos at the last minute. So once the effective training, the drilling exercises and all are explained to the workers, even nowadays we have seen is housing societies which install the firefighting equipments. Even they have drills for the society members. They are also trained. So I think this is very, very important. Training has to be given to all the people who are working in a factory. What to do in case of fire, how to do it, and how best to prevent it. Power to require specification of defective parts or test of stability. If the inspector feels that the conditions in the factory are dangerous to human life or safety, he may serve the occupier or manager a notice in writing, requiring him before the specified date to furnish all the details. This is again very important. If at all the inspector feels that this is not a safe place for workers, it becomes his duty to immediately inform the manager or the occupier, both in notice as well as orally, and he has to furnish all the details regarding the same. Safety of buildings of machinery. The inspectors in the case of dangerous condition of buildings or many part of ways of machinery or plant require the manager or occupier or both. Maintenance of buildings. It appears to the inspector that any buildings or part is in such state of disrepair or which may lead to continuous detrimental to the health and welfare of the workers, he may serve the manager or the occupier both an order in writing and specifying the measures to be carried out. It's again very important. Buildings have to be maintained properly. If at all the inspector feels that working over here is dangerous, he has to inform the manager or the occupier and see to it that the necessary steps are taken so that the worker's life is not endangered. In every factory where 1,000 or more workers are ordinarily employed, a safety officer is necessary under Section 40B. Where the manufacturing process nor operation involves risk of bodily injury, poisoning or disease, any other hazard to the health of the persons employed therein, the occupier shall employ such number of safety officers as may be specified in the notification with such duties. Let's now discuss welfare, again a very important topic. Chapter 5, Section 42-50 of the Act deals with the facilities for the welfare of workers. First, washing facilities. In every factory, adequate and suitable facilities shall be provided and maintained for the use of workers. Facilities should be conveniently accessible and should always be kept clean. Facilities for storing and drying clothes. State government may make rules requiring the provision of suitable places for keeping clothes of workers not worn during working hours. For the drying of wet clothing in respect of any factories or clothes or the class of factories. Provisions of sitting arrangement for workers obliged to work in a standing position. So yeah, during the break hours, provisions for them to sit. A provision of sitting arrangement also has to be done for workers who do their work in sitting position. So recently a lot of things have been mentioned about the occupational health hazards, which the workers or the employees get during working, improper sitting arrangements, improper chairs, working on the computer stations for long working hours, 8 hours at a stretch, all these things have to be taken into consideration. First aid appliances, there should be at least one first aid box with the prescribed contents for every 150 workers. It should contain only the prescribed contents. It should be in charge of responsible persons and should be in an ambulance room in every factory employing more than 500 workers. This is again very important. More importance should be laid on this. Canteens shall be provided and maintained in every factory employing more than 250 workers. Shelters, restrooms and lunch rooms provisions to be made in factories employing more than 150 workers. And these shelters are to be sufficiently lighted, ventilated and cooled. Crash provisions to be made for crash in factories employing more than 30 women workers. Again, they have to be adequately lighted and ventilated and to be under the charge of a trained woman. So that, you know, women who come to work with their small children, for them this would be highly beneficial. Welfare officers, employment of welfare officers in factories employing 500 or more workers, it's necessary. The state government may prescribe their duties, qualifications, conditions of service of welfare officers. Let's discuss a very important point, that is working hours of adults. So weekly hours, no adult workers shall be required or allowed to work in a factory for more than 48 hours in any week. So assuming 6 working days in a week, not more than 8 hours a day. Weekly holiday, this section provides that there shall be a holiday for the whole day in every week and such weekly holiday shall be on the first day of the week. Compensatory holidays, when a worker is deprived of any of the weekly holidays under section 52 or by any of the rules made by the state government exempting a factory from the provision of section 52, he shall be allowed compensatory holidays for equal number holidays so lost. So he is eligible for holidays wherever he is deprived of the weekly holidays. Daily hours, subject to the above rule, no adult worker should be required to allowed to work in a factory for more than 9 hours in any day. So more than 9 hours, a worker cannot work in a factory. Intervals for rest, the rest period of work of adult workers in a factory each day shall be so fixed that no period shall exceed 5 hours. So no period shall exceed a continuity of more than 5 hours. Spread over, this section provides that daily working hours should be adjusted in such a manner that inclusive of rest interval under section 55, they are not spread over more than 10 and a half hours on any day. Yes, these workers also do require rest. So assuming the spread over time, it should not be more than 10 and a half hours on any day. Night shifts under section 57, when a worker in a factory works on a shift which extends beyond midnight, that's a night shift. So his weekly or compensatory holiday for a whole day means a period of 24 consecutive hours beginning when his shift ends. The following day for him shall be deemed to be the period of 24 hours beginning when such shift ends, and the hours he has worked after midnight shall be counted in the previous day. The extra wages for overtime are as per section 49, wages at twice the ordinary rate where a worker works in a factory for more than 9 hours in a day or more than 48 hours in any week, he shall be in respect of overtime being entitled to wages at the rate of twice his ordinary rate of wages. So many workers do opt to work overtime. So in that cases, if there is a situation where people are required to work overtime and the worker is ready to do that, then he needs to be paid twice than his ordinary rate of wages. Now, what is the ordinary rate of wage? It means the basic wages plus such allowances, including the cash equivalent of the advantage accruing through the concessional sale to the workers of food grains and other articles as the worker is for the time being entitled to. It does not include a bonus and wages for overtime work. Restriction on double employment under section 60. No adult worker shall be required or allowed to work in any factory or on any day where he has already been working in any other factory and in such circumstances as may be prescribed. Annual leave with wages, section 78 to 84 provides for the grant for a certain period of leave with wages to workmen. There are certain rules relating to annual leave with wages, leave entitlement. So every worker is entitled for a period to work for a period of 240 days. More in a factory during a calendar year shall be allowed during the subsequent calendar year leave with the wages for a certain number of days. If an adult, one day for every 20 days of work performed by him during the previous calendar years. If a child, one day for every 15 days of work performed by him during the previous calendar year. Annual leave with wages cannot be availed for more than 3 times during the year. And the application to avail annual leaves with wages for illness purposes can be made any time. So if a worker is ill, sickness leave can be made at any time. There is a particular scheme for the grant of leave for the purpose of ensuring the continuity of the work. The occupier or the manager of the factory may draw up and submit with the chief inspector a scheme for regulating the grant of leave. Very important act, that is the Workmen's Compensation Act 1923. This is a central act. It provides for the compensation to be paid to the workers for personal injury, including death, suffered by them on account of accidents arising out of and in the course of employment. Only the persons entitled in schedule of all the act are eligible for the compensation. The employer's liability under the act has in fact no connection with any wrongdoing by him. Who are the dependents of this act? A widower, a minor illegitimate son, an unmarried illegitimate daughter or daughter, legitimate or illegitimate of married, and a minor if widowed, and a minor brother or an unmarried sister or a widowed sister if a minor, a widowed daughter-in-law, a minor child of a predeceased son, a minor child of a predeceased daughter where no parent of the child is alive, a paternal grandparent if the parent of the workman is alive. So these are the dependents. How is this compensation distributed? A workman whose injury has resulted in death and no payment of a lump sum as compensation to a woman. A person under a legal age disability shall deposit with the commissioner. In case of a deceased workman, an employer may make any dependent advances on account of compensation, that is the amount equivalent to 3 months' wages, and does not exceed the compensation payable to the dependent. This amount shall be deducted by the commissioner from the compensation payable to the employee that is deceased, magistrate in that part, or by any consular officer in the foreign country or the state government for enforcing the claims by admissions in evidence. If the deposition is authenticated by the signature of a judge magistrate, if the defendant has an opportunity by himself or by his agent to cross-examine the witness. Also, if the deposition was made in the course of a criminal proceeding, on proof that the deposition was made in the person of the, in presence of the person accused, where any matter is under this act to be done on or before the commissioner, the same shall subject to the provision of this act. The accident took place which resulted in the injury or the workman, or in his case, or in the case of his death, the dependent claiming the compensation ordinarily resides and the employer has his registered office. Provided that the commissioner shall not proceed on the matter unless the commissioner has jurisdiction over the area in which the accident took place. Also, where an accident occurs in respect of which liability to pay compensation under this act arises, a claim for such compensation may be subject to provisions of this act.